A character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
All right, gang, welcome back. Stunt Granny Audio 172, or as it should be called, Stunt Granny Audio Show, number 172. This is Jeremy. Kevin's on the other end.
Hi, kids.
All right. And we're here to talk some wrestling stuff, so I hope that's why you tuned in. If not, I don't know why you would have.
Yeah, well, you could have heard maybe some stellar football talk like last week.
Did we talk football last week?
That was football, wasn't it?
I guess. Yeah, no, whatever.
I didn't go back and listen to us. So I think it started with something that it was not wrestling.
Yeah, that's usually how it starts. But yeah, well.
She's hot.
Who are you talking about?
I was just scrolling through our page there, and they just... Oh. Rosa is stuck in pause there.
Well, you know what? Perfect. Let's just start with that then, since I had no way of – I didn't put any thought into starting the show today. Kevin's speaking of Rosa Mendez, her of the jump rope or doing exercise in the back for no reason gimmick that lasted all of, what, a month?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the divas don't need a gimmick for more than a month, do they?
No. No. Remember the champion, Beth Phoenix? Her gimmick is
not being on TV.
Yeah, so there's that. I don't remember her being hurt, but...
Yeah, no. That was a funny one, because I think I mentioned that twice on my Almost Live, definitely half-assed review of Raw. Like, because I felt like there were two people. I'm like, hold on, I didn't see an injury report on them, did I? And I'm scanning through it to figure out who it is.
I was going to say, that's exactly why I brought that up. over the weekend, well, actually not over the weekend, it was Sunday night. Where would it take place? Shit, I totally forget already.
Oh, the tag team change there?
Yeah. Well, anyways, Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne.
Well, yeah, they were in California somewhere. They fucking... We're in Anaheim for Raw. Oh, Oakland.
Oh, that's right.
I can't read Eric's writing for some reason. SOPA's killing it.
Air Boom lost the tag titles to Primo and
Epico.
Epico. You know, real quick, as an aside, why isn't Hunico and Epico a tag team? Wouldn't it have made more sense?
Oh,
I mean, you got the Ickos together, so it would have made, unless that's too close to the Usos, they didn't want to confuse people. But it drives me crazy because I keep wanting to say Hunico and Epico.
Yeah, but... well, and I think this is why I got confused at first. Didn't Hunico bring in both Epico and Camacho? Was the guy I could not think of on Monday. I just called him his good buddy or something.
Camacho's like, the guy that rides the bike, right? That drives it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, low rider?
He drives it.
Ugh. Yeah. I remember at the SmackDown taping, Epico brought in Hunico. I think that's how that worked.
Okay.
That was such an odd thing about it because they didn't announce who Epico was when he came to the ring. When his video started live, they cut it and went to a Mark Henry promo or something. So he walked down to nothing. It was very odd, but whatever.
God, yeah, no, and it just all of a sudden he was tagging with Primo and like they weren't anywhere to be found together. It's just like, hold on, wasn't he just with Hunico?
Yeah.
Like, am I missing something here?
I think the other thing that should be said is he started teaming with Primo, and it was like, what? Didn't they release him like 2 to 3 years ago? And then you realize that was his brother. And then you realize, who the fuck is Primo? I don't remember him. I was confusing him with some guy who's been fired or released, whatever.
Oh. No, I was similarly surprised that he was still on the roster, but I remembered who he was.
Yeah. I mean, it took a second, but then I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's why, because I remember Carlito talking about how it was so satisfying to be tagging with his brother and blah, blah, blah on Twitter. And
right.
It's like, okay. But, so anyways, yeah, they took the tag titles from Air Boom, who I don't think a lot of people probably even remembered were tag champions.
Well, they might have because during also getting to weave things in here, Evan Bourne's first suspension,
yeah,
Kofi Kingston got the job constantly with his tag team title belt.
It was like it was his fault. I mean, you know, you're an adult. I mean, Evan Bourne is not a teenager. I mean, he's working for a multi-million dollar company. How does that work if it's like $100 million? Is that's not tens of millions, is it? Would it be hundreds of millions?
Yeah, it is tens of millions.
Well, I'm guessing it, but isn't it hundreds of millions?
Ten millions.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, good enough. So so tens of millions of dollars company. Doing this, I mean, and you know the policy. And wait, I think we're getting ahead. Sorry. So anyways, they took
the
titles.
You're getting
ahead. All right, Epico and Primo.
Take the titles over the weekend.
Yeah. And the only reason they even remember those two is that they suddenly decided, all right, Rosa Mendez is, she's got some Latin blood in her. That's to make it sound like I don't know, like I know what she is. She has a mix of some culture in her, and it's worked out because they put her in the like leather halter top and leather pants or you know the tight pants or whatever else, and it was a very good choice because she looks like she's just going to be not even a mouthpiece, just the eye candy at ringside, but then she's also a totally different eye candy than everybody else.
Because she's legitimately eye candy.
Well, but yeah, but she also doesn't. She's not blonde hair. She doesn't have blonde hair. The blue eyes, all that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, that's true. But I mean, she seems to be in a good spot. It's like one of those things where it's just like, if you want sex appeal in your company, and they continue to fucking treat the women's division awfully, why not just have more women doing stuff like this?
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be the mouthpiece like Vicky Guerrero. And, like, I think she's talked a couple of times, but, yeah, she's not trying to be Vicky, which is fine. Like, not all of the women that happen to be managers need to do that.
I'd actually back up a little bit on that and say I wouldn't – like she doesn't have to be the mouthpiece, but I think she could do a pretty decent job of being annoying. Like if she – hopefully she's like watched Vicky Guerrero and like learned. So she could be like the old like 60s, but like the early 80s like sitcom stereotypes since that's what WWE stuck in anyways. and be like that – just that annoying like the – what was the actress's name? Rosie Perez?
Yeah.
With that horrible voice of hers?
Yeah.
Have her talking like that, and then, you know, just talking shit, and then as soon as, like, someone decides to step up to her, you know, the guys like jump in front of her, and, like she's just hiding behind him, like talking shit. Kind of like I almost said West Side Story, but that wasn't exactly that's not how that movie went.
But yeah, you know, have a strong Latino woman.
but I mean, you know what I'm talking about though. She can just be antagonize him, and you know, so you really hate her, but at the same time, you know, you don't like them either. So
yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I meant they don't need to be exactly like her. Yeah, if she helps to be a heat monster, I'm all for it. I mean, they're not supposed to be baby faces, so have her be annoying and do stuff like you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just you know, mix it up. But I guess just in case it's the first time you've tuned in, all of our conversations about women's wrestling, especially in WWE and TNA, or at least just WWE and TNA, and anything in tag team wrestling, and really applies to TNA now. Every conversation about that is prefaced with the fact that we know it doesn't matter. So we just need to get that out of the way now. In no uncertain certain circumstances do we expect anything to come of this, other than getting Rosa Mendez possibly, you know, move up the card with somebody else, have her hook up with Alberto later on, you know, something like that. Because
yeah, you know, now him, I actually remember his injury.
Yeah. But I mean, it would actually be interesting to see like Rosa with that same character. You know, I was trying to get around like the annoying like little sassy Latina, or the hothead Latina. That's what I was going for.
Right.
Pair her with like, I don't know. Not Jack Swagger, because that's not going to work at all. But pair her with someone totally different to see like the dynamic between the two. Not in Alberto Del Rio. Like, go away from the ethnicity. Like, they're so comfortable in doing. You know, like she's paired up because they're all of like some sort of Latin American heritage.
Right.
You know? Just do something different. But I would never see that. But
yeah, no. It's silly to even suggest that that's going to happen. Kind of like tag team champion, tag team or women's wrestling mattering.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, on Monday, when they, you know, it was cool that they showed the footage. What I didn't think was cool was that the house lights were totally down to hide the non-existent crowd that was probably not there. They did work in the Raw house show, set in the background. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah. I did enjoy the completely black background, so you could not see the five people that were at the house show.
Yeah, it was like a Louis C.K. concert, but you know there were probably more people at Louis C.K. than were at wrestling. The other thing, and this is just a quick aside, another snarky comment, this does not lead into a conversation about how cool it was that titles changed hands on a house show, because it's not going to matter.
Well, it doesn't matter, but it still doesn't mean it's a dumb idea.
That's not a dumb idea, but I think it's one of those, like, slow your roll. Okay, they changed the titles at a house show. It's not gonna drive up business, that's for sure, at house shows.
No, it's not gonna do that at all. And, it's the tag titles, so I mean, these two are not gonna matter in the matter of, probably 2 weeks or something.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
They get bored with them.
The entire reason that this happened was due to the fact that Evan Bourne clearly loves his synthetic marijuana.
Is that what he definitely got caught for the first time?
That's what all the reports that are coming out, that yet again, it's either synthetic or the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, if he's gonna smoke the synthetic stuff, he may as well just get a real deal.
That's exactly it. I mean,
that fake stuff let's just say it may occasionally have adverse effects.
Well, I can honestly, I've never tried that stuff.
Yeah, so. Well, what? Oh no, I heard someone like really freaking out on it.
Oh, you sure they're not talking about salvia?
Positive.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's one of my sister-in-law's nephew or something like that.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. So it wasn't like a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend or something like that. You know, I'm going to take it that this was a pretty, pretty on the up and up story.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so he got busted yet again.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to the site here.
But yeah, I mean, he hasn't been back for all of like 60 days or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, oh my gosh, like what the fuck are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
Like, you had to have known that after getting off suspension number one, they're going to take a little bit closer look at you. Like, they're not going to wait, like, a couple of, like, a year or something to retest you. Like, that, you've got to know that they're going to test you again soon.
Yeah, that's exactly it. All right. Some people in management don't think you've got what it takes. I won't name names, but one of the initials in his name is H. Somebody else in management, who may or may not be a female member of the McMahon family, does see something in him. She's clearly right. So why would you give them any excuse to pick on you? This is wrestling, so it's not above mention, or it's not above reason that they will purposely go out of their way to pick on someone to just, you know, drive them crazy, get them out of the league, get them out of the company, something like that. So yeah. if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, whether you agree with it or not, you signed your contract.
Deal.
Yeah, you know what's expected of you. So to sit, I mean, and he hasn't done this yet. But to sign this deal, and then they suspend you, and right, you serve your sentence, you come back, and you do it again. It's like, how fucking stupid are you? Where is Eric's Eric line actually? Yeah.
No, if you fall off the wagon like a lot later, or something like that, you know, I give you a little bit. I definitely go, oh, okay, you know, maybe he thought he could get away with it or something like that. But again, kind of going back to the, you know, they're going to test again soon. It's just right. Like, what are you doing?
Well, the one, Eric actually handled this post. The one line I really liked, and there's a joke in here, which I don't know if a lot of people will get, but when Eric ended the post with, but when you're willing and energetically letting it cost you your job, there's only one person to blame. Yoshitatsu. And for those who don't know how far down that goes, there was another guy, Funaki, that was constantly employed by WWE for years, and no one knew why. So you can figure out the rest. I don't know, man. I know this is probably a way for a wrestler to, you know, come down after a show, deal with pain, if you want to do it that way. Right. And you know how the studies on this stuff have changed throughout time, and it's not like, you know, Reefer Madness where it was going to lead to rape and whatever else. And you know, the facts are out there that it's so much more. I almost said beneficial, but it's not nearly as bad as it was made out to be. But it's, if you sign the deal, shouldn't you be smarter? I mean, come up with some other way around it. You just go in and you really have to question the intelligence of people.
Yeah, and you know, why not just get out of the deal? Like, if you really want to smoke pot that much,
Booker T.
Just, you know, get out. Like, I mean, there is, to me, in my humble opinion, and this is not factual whatsoever, but it's looking like Ring of Honor is a little more lenient in the what you're allowed to take category. You know what? He would fit back in fine there, and I'm sure he would make just enough money. Go back, just get out of the deal. Just say, you know what, I want to continue smoking pot. Fuck this deal, I'm out.
Yeah. you know, if you're that vehement about doing something, take a stand and go and say, all right, yeah, I'm out. I mean, he's got action figures. He's got all sorts of stuff. I would hope that he's made, like, a decent wage off of this, or at least that he was smart enough to save the what money he has made. You know, I mean, that's supposedly this generation of wrestler is way smarter with their finances, with their drug use, you know, and I'm saying supposedly, okay? So why not, you know, what's the old thing, put up or shut up? Go ahead and do that. But, I mean, Booker T, allegedly, that's why he wanted out all those years ago.
No.
Because he loved it. Or he, you know, he didn't want to stop. And, you know, I agree with him. Why are you bothering me with this? It's not affecting my in-ring performance. Leave me alone.
But, right. Yeah, no. That's outstanding. I guess I hadn't heard that about him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was years ago, though. So, but
right.
I don't know. But when it comes – when you have – I guess when you have somebody else involved in Kofi Kingston, does this actually speak more to the every person for himself aspect of the business? Or is it, all right, you just let down, you know, a friend of yours or something?
I don't know. I mean, it could be an example as to why they don't like tag team wrestling. You know, he just – you know, you can get out of a storyline pretty easy. You know, when it's one-on-one competition, you know, if you want to keep a tag team together like that, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're kind of fucking everything for that whole time period.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the old days, like the Rock and Roll Express, the Road Warriors and that, where, you know, they're doing all that shit together. So, and promoters didn't care because no one had access to the amount of information that we do now to find out what's going on and road stories and all this sort of thing. So, I don't know. It just seemed kind of selfish to me. You know, it's like...
Definitely.
But at the same time, unless Kofi's going along with it, I'm like, yeah, man, don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. And then management's like,
I'm from Jamaica, man. I like to smoke some ganja, too.
Well, I was, but then I suddenly decided not to talk that way anymore. No, but unless that's what management gets pissed at him for, and is like, you know what? You could have been avoiding this. I'm not saying right or wrong, but just putting the onus on him, saying you should have been all over your partner for this. So you're jobbing to Ricardo Rodriguez for the next 3 weeks straight. Then after that, you're not the Royal Rumble.
You know?
And that's a big thing too. Evan Bourne's missing out on the Rumble. And he's going to miss out on an Elimination Chamber.
And I would imagine he is not going to get a spot except for maybe a Schmoz Battle Royal at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The pre-show Battle Royal?
Yeah, the pre-show Battle Royal.
Yeah. Dude, who the hell was dressed in a cowboy hat last year? And we were all like, who the
David
hell is
David Hart Smith?
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He'll be the David Hart Smith of this year's Battle Royal for sure. And he'll be tossed out first, I'm positive. You know, it's just one of those things. Unless he comes back and kisses some major ass, I can't see that happening. I can't see him doing anything but being a jobber from now on, which is really too bad.
Yeah, no, to me that's the biggest thing is that people bagged on Kofi a lot more than they bagged on him. And that really is the, that's the disappointment. I really like him. I like his in-ring work. He looks really credible for the size that he is. And I think at some point he could have, I think I called him, you know, a possible new age Rey Mysterio at some point, but, hell, he doesn't even have the knee injuries that Ray has. So, I mean, he could possibly do even more, but he's decided to screw the pooch.
Yep. Well, I got kind of distracted for part of this. And I guess this is the next thing we should talk about. And it's the Daniel Bryan slow heel turn.
Right.
I'm actually really enjoying it. It's at least given Daniel Bryan, you know, something to, you know, to sink the old teeth into.
It's his first real story of any sort.
Right. Well, It seems to be working, I guess. I don't know. I actually saw this on Saturday, the WWE's Facebook page. You know how they post results every week? Or after SmackDown, they'll be like, so-and-so had their epic tag team confrontation, and everyone can comment on it.
Okay.
The next one's this and this and this, and comment on this. And Sheamus did this and comment. Well, they ended SmackDown from Friday with SmackDown results, World Heavyweight title match ends in Diva disaster, all right? And it's clearly about Big Show running into AJ and then crying like a girl because he accidentally ran into somebody. And this, my friend, is where, you know, we always bring up those, well, we're clearly not the audience for WWE anymore, and it's been a couple of weeks since we did this.
Yeah.
I love reading the comments because they're the people like us who will interject and say, well, you know what, Daniel Bryan's really showing something on the mic. And next person's like, yeah, this is actually a really good story. It allows Daniel Bryan to do something and Big Show to work with a smaller opponent for a change, this and this, this.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Not these. All right, let's just see here. This is from... Let's find a. Let's see here.
Come on, okay. Pokey.
So someone named Michael Weirs, if Daniel Bryan didn't start to run around the ring, she wouldn't be in this condition. And three people liked his comment. All right. All right. So then Annette Rogers Penberthy, or whatever. It's Daniel Bryan's fault with 2 exclamation points. He knew he couldn't. He couldn't win fair against the Big Show, and that's why he asked AJ how much she loves him. It's her fault as well, as anyone that stands around the ring knows they could get hurt. 5 people liked that comment. Let's see here. Okay, Ali Musvi? Big Show should win World Heavyweight Championship because it was given to Daniel Bryan because he won Money in the Bank. WWE want to do a storyline. Somehow make Daniel Bryan World Heavyweight Champ. I think Mr. Musvi doesn't speak English very well. God damn, I think I hit too many. There were some really good ones.
Okay, well, you know.
Oh, no, here we go. Betty Dunham. This is one of my favorite ones.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan should automatically lose the championship belt for bringing AJ to the ring. It goes on. She should not have been at ringside since it was no disqualification, no count-out match. When there is those kind of matches, there's always things going on outside the ring. She should not have been there. So the bitch got hit by Big Show, and it's her fault. I'm going to go on a limb and say Betty Dunham is a battered wife. And this is her only escape from real life. So now she's taking out her horrible existence on poor AJ.
Oh, my gosh.
God damn.
No, that just seems like a true believer in my book. I don't know if that's her problem in particular, but she definitely... I know you remember the women in line when we were getting ready to have D'Lo Brown autograph shit.
Yes.
The people in front of us that just still believe that wrestling was real. I will forever believe that people still think that. So, yes.
Oh, all right. I did see. All right, this is with 2 others. Shawn Michael Lewis. Bryan had no right to call Show a bastard, spelled wrong. It was his fault running away like a puss. 2 people like that one. And then one that's clearly a gimmick. Induct Andy Kaufman into the WWE Hall of Fame said, "This is why women have no place in wrestling. They just don't have the brains for it." And if you follow the Andy Kaufman thing, that's pretty much perfect. So, but it just, you know, it's at least got people taking sides, I guess, to try and put a bow on this of some sort.
No, I mean, I don't think there needs to be any bow. I mean, he's starting to get booed, and you can't tell on SmackDown since they can can in stuff. But he was definitely getting fairly well booed on Raw Monday night.
Yeah, yeah. I really did like I really liked his stuff on Monday night. How he's going to win it for AJ or do something this. And just
When he said he was going to win it for AJ, I was about in tears.
I don't know. That just cracked me up. I was like, yeah, you're a dick, man. That's just, I don't know. I like when the heels who, you know, I generally tend to cheer for as a fan. I like when even the heels just make you go, ah, come on, man. It's making it hard to root for you. You know? It was like CM Punk doing that shit with Rey Mysterio's daughter and stuff. Singing happy birthday and shit to her. It's like a little creep. Ugh. But I think the only problem with the Daniel Bryan heel turn so far is he's not winning any matches, which I guess is, you know, part of the process. But he's not winning matches and he's not losing matches. They're just ending.
Well, yeah, and that's the only problem that they do have with him fighting someone like the Big Show and Mark Henry. Like, it's like, okay, these guys couldn't really beat each other. How can we – and that's the one thing that I had a problem with their match on Friday was I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't care how big Big Show is. At some point, a chair hurts, and it hurts a lot. I don't care how small the guy is swinging it. There's no reason that you know, Big Show should be standing up after, like, the 12th chair shot to the back.
Right, yeah. Well, I think the other thing that's kind of fun, though, is whenever the little guy takes out the knee of the big guy, it only lasts for, like, 2 to 3 minutes now. There's no long-term selling of it. I mean, you know, that's where announcers would help by saying, you know, bring up the fact, well, his knee's hurting him and whatever else, but nothing happens. Like, oh, he took him out by the knee. It's a smart move. And it's forgotten, and they move on.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, it's forgotten by the big man, too. Like, they
yeah,
never...
Said, no, that, too. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, the agent needs to pull them aside and be like, look, if you're going to do the little man, big man match, he hits you in the knee, you got to stay down for a while. And that'll, I mean...
Or at least show the after effects at some right. point. Like, it's just like, okay, because, like, I think he hit him in the knee with, like, two different drop kicks and a chair at some point.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, again, like, I don't care how big the guy is. If someone whacks you with a chair on the knee, it's just not going to be doing you any favors.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm getting burned out on the Superman heels or the Superman faces. Yeah, the comeback's fine, but to not sell most of the match is getting a little old. And I know that there's a size difference, obviously. But they've been having – but the match quality has been decent, though. It's not this lumbering shit that, you know, you would expect.
Yeah, no, Big Show has done a really good job of getting more movement into his matches for a while now. I mean, that's the reason why him and Mark Henry's matches weren't that bad, because...
Until that last one.
Until that last one. But even Mark Henry, in a way, has at least kept his matches moving more, like, you know, even though he's still more lumbering than Big Show. But, you know, Big Show keeps on running ropes and stuff like that, and he's making it look easy these days.
Yeah, and the one thing I really like is the choke Daniel Bryan's been using on Big Show, where he jumps, wraps his legs around his torso, and you know, basically pulling down on his neck. I'm drawing a blank on what that's called, but
but
I don't know what Big Show's doing, if he's holding his breath or if he's allowing Daniel Bryan to choke him for real. Big Show's head turns purple and it looks horrible. I mean, it looks really uncomfortable. And if they had a better announcer, and that is Mitchell Kuhl's problem. You know, you could sell Daniel Bryan as a threat, but the announcers just go, oh, wow, Big Show's head's turning purple. This is terrible. I'm really surprised. No, and that's where Booker T needs to be better at his job and go, well, you don't understand the pressure, you know, D. Bryan or DB, whatever the hell he calls him, is putting on Big Show's neck. That's a near 200-pound man hanging on the neck of somebody. You know, explain it. But whatever.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, and it's just one of those hard-ons that won't go away. You know.
Yeah, well, if they moved to a three-man booth or a two-man booth there, that would be okay. That would help out. But
yeah. Yeah, they just insist on putting Michael Mitchell Cool out there.
Yeah, because
Josh Matthews and
he's going to get so much more heat if we just keep him everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, he doesn't have action figures or sell tickets or go to house shows or wrestle. So anyways, I try to avoid that sort of stuff, but I don't know. It's actually one of the more interesting things that they're doing. And again, this goes back to what we were talking about a few weeks ago with the experimental period.
Yeah.
This wouldn't be happening on the lead up. I mean, after the Rumble, I don't expect Daniel Bryan to have the title much longer.
No.
Yeah, I mean, unless they come up with some super, you know, some super angle to where he keeps it all the way to WrestleMania and fights somebody and loses it there or something, which would be pretty sweet, but yeah, I mean,
I'd be pretty shocked if it isn't Big Show and Mark Henry again at WrestleMania.
Well, remember, the Rumble's in St. Louis. That's Orton's hometown.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's, I mean, I got to figure, and it's been rumored, but I got to figure, it's Orton's penciled in against somebody. So, because it doesn't look like John Cena is going to be winning the belt back anytime soon.
Yeah, he seems pretty distracted. Like, I don't, it would appear to me as if The Rock and John Cena is not going to be a match for the title.
No, like, and it's,
I would be really surprised.
Yeah. And we talked about it, I think, when WrestleMania ended last year. It doesn't need to be for the title, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, that one is definitely big enough that in no way does that need to be for the title.
But I think it's been an interesting job they've done to keep Cena distracted. I mean, you know, you've had him going back and forth with different, you know, they kind of played the hot potato thing with the title over the summer.
Right.
Then it petered out, and it's just been him against, you know, he wasn't even on the last pay-per-view. Well, it was not the last pay-per-view. Was it the last one?
Yeah, it was the last one.
Yeah, he wasn't even on the last one. And coming up, yeah. So they actually skipped him on one, and then he'll be on the Royal Rumble against Kane. So they've had that program, and you have to figure the Kane angle probably will last until an Elimination Chamber, because I can see Kane. Because remember, anyone that participates in a match is still eligible this year to be in the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
So, you know, because, like, years
passed. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay. I blanked on that because they did mention that this week.
Yeah. Which is cool because that's how it used to be. I mean, if you had a match, you could get in there. And they'd mention, well, he's going to be tired because he already wrestled, you know. But I can see Cena and Kane not having their conflict resolved until the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. So that keeps him distracted another month. That's over, and you only have a month for him and The Rock.
Yeah, and hopefully The Rock actually shows up for more than, like, fucking one Raw between the Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania.
Well, I believe that G.I. Joe Retaliation is done filming. And I know that he's promoting that Amazing Journey. The sequel to Journey to the Center of the Earth that no one saw starring Brandon Fraser. Brendan Fraser, excuse me.
Isn't it Fraser?
Okay. The Encino Man.
Come on, he was great in The Mummy.
Shut up. You know, I still will laugh to myself about how a bunch of, like, near adults, how childish we were acting. Watching that original Mummy movie. I mean, this is a movie we paid money to see. Was it the first one or second?
It was the first one.
I remember you and Jen just cutting jokes. And I'm looking over you guys like, shut the fuck up. And you're like, this is terrible. This is Indiana Jones. I was like, what the hell were you expecting? It's the Mummy. Look at who the star is. And there was something, it was his wife's brother or something did something. And I remember there were, five of us? The six of us? We all just, we finally just had it. You know how like you try to suppress your laugh so long? And it finally, it's just, you're laughing for no reason. And I remember the people around us just getting pissed off at us because we wouldn't shut up.
Oh, good times, good times.
I totally empathize with those people. This is such a good movie. Brendan Fraser is such a good actor. That Mummy is scary. He's like, yeah, no, he's not. This CGI bullshit is terrible. None of those movies are good. They're all just trash. Ugh. God damn.
Yeah, well, you know, there was one good thing that came out of that, Rachel Weisz.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Now you lost me for a little minute there.
Yeah, no, that I really liked her in that because she was dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Because she does not look quite as good when she's all gussied up.
Yeah, I like her in roles where she's a normal chick. More so than, you know, the glamorized, but I don't like when people get all dressed up anyways. I think like when they go to the Oscars and all that shit, they look stupid. Like just look normal. You're way hotter when you're normal, but whatever. What were we talking about? Oh, The Rock. That's right.
Yeah. The Rock.
Rock and John Cena. But no, yeah. They've done a pretty good job.
We were talking about difference. Because we were talking about how it's still an experimental period, and that's how it all started, was with Daniel Bryan.
And then that whole thing with keeping John Cena away from the title, he's not even mentioning it. They're trying to add some sort of different layer to him by having him attack Jack Swagger, who couldn't have been taken seriously anyways, but now is impossible to take seriously. Keeping Cena away from the title has given Punk really an opportunity to play off other people now. And he's, you know, they're giving Ziggler the Jeff Hardy spot this time around. And I think Dolph's been making enough with the time he's been given.
Yeah, I would be pretty surprised, kind of like everybody else. That I'm not. He's not going to do anything before WrestleMania. He's not going to be in a big match at WrestleMania. Yeah. But I would be pretty surprised if sometime thereafter he doesn't get moved up the card again.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to figure out for WrestleMania what he's going to do. He clearly won't be taking on CM Punk. At least I can't imagine he'd be taking on CM Punk at least. Because there's no way they can drag that feud out all the way to April. And then, I don't know, it doesn't seem like it would be practical. But I also try to think of who CM Punk could be taking on. You know, right now it seems like his feud is more with John Laurinaitis than it is with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, but they could move with Del Rio coming back. They could move him to him.
Oh, boy. Not again, though.
I don't know what other heels they have on Raw there, honestly. The Miz.
Kane?
They could do Kane.
Kane and CM Punk? I don't know. There might have been a throwaway SmackDown match before, you know, Punk really became CM Punk.
Right.
But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's kind of limited, but I mean, that's a little further away, so whatever. We don't need to
book. But it just seems like it's like the old Austin McMahon, you know, they're trying to work that thing again. But at least McMahon always had heels he could rely on. And in this case, there aren't any.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've been mentioning that problem. And, yeah, honestly, outside of Ziggler, I don't know who else they can really count on.
I'm really trying to rack my brain. I guess you got Jericho in your back pocket. Forgot about that.
Yeah, and you know what? I had seen that thrown around. I forgot about that. I had seen that thrown around as a possible WrestleMania match, Punk and Jericho.
That would be very fun to watch, I think. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's I would new. Be done with that.
But what'd you think? Punk's the last month or so for him has been kind of awkward.
Well, it is because he has the title, but he doesn't have a feud, really.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, it's more with the GM, which is fine, but yeah, he needs some heavy to do his lifting.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't really have it. And even the thing with Ziggler, you know, it's been something, but it's so clear that it hasn't been that they've been such fluky wins.
Right.
Like every time, like even in a tag match, because wasn't one of the pins in a tag match?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, okay.
It was a handicap match, wasn't it?
Because
John Cena got hurt or something?
It might have been.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, he hasn't quite gotten quite enough mustard behind him.
Yeah.
To make him feel a credible threat.
Yeah. Well,
even have him beat someone else higher up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one positive is that the mic time when he is on the mic has been fun.
Yeah, no, I think he's been really good on the mic, actually.
I'm sorry. I got to change the station.
Okay.
I had toddlers and tiaras on.
Oh, Jesus.
This shit is fucking hilarious. Okay. All right, so anyways. For Ziggler, though, they have to get Vicky Guerrero away from him. It's time for him to, and I know this is a repeat, but it's time for him to blossom on his own.
Well, and I think she's been getting less and less time, and that's a perfectly fine way to work it. But yeah, a clean break at some point. And that's what happened. Edge was already pretty established, really, when he got together with her.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
But, I guess they could still ride it out for a while. I guess that's what I was getting to. So, I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Oh, I'm trying to think of what... Yeah, all right. But to go back to the CM Punk thing, I don't know why I brought Ziggler up again. Probably because my concentration got broken.
Yeah, stop watching toddlers and tears.
Dude, this shit is great. I hadn't honestly watched the show but one other time, but then Anthony kept talking about how funny it was from Opie and Anthony. So I started watching it, and he's right. This show is really funny. And just seeing, like, one-year-olds or whatever they are freaking out on stage. Like, just what I was laughing at was the kid was doing, like, the blow kisses to the crowd, and it just kept doing it. It wouldn't stop. It's like your computer. Just, you know, remember the old basic. You could do run, like line one, and then copy it, and it would just keep repeating the whole way through. That's all the stupid kid was doing. So the mother came out, grabbed the kid, and the kid's still blowing kisses. That's it. Mom carries it off stage. Like, oh, shit. But no, CM Punk's mic work. Go right back into it. CM Punk's mic work has been kind of weird, but I agreed with you when you said that he finally killed it at the end.
Yeah, no, he hasn't been bad, but he hadn't really killed it recently. Mm-hmm. And that one, he finally just mashed that one.
Yeah, and when I was reading another review of Raw, and they said that it was Punk is at his best when he's that arrogant douchebag. Like, he's supposed to be a heel. When he does that stuff, you're supposed to be a heel. When you just blast somebody like that. But he's so good at it that you're like, oh, yeah, and you just start cheering. Like, you know, you're like, yeah, you know, get rally behind him.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think we've kind of talked about that before, too, but making the baby faces go away from what is making them good. And yeah, I mean, even CM Punk was in that category. He got moved away from what was making him good.
Right. Yep. And
that was back to what he does good.
Yeah. But at the same time, couldn't you kind of blame that on who he was partnered up against? Because remember, this wasn't Dolph Ziggler he blasted. This was John Laurinaitis, you know?
Right.
I know it sounds weird, but it's like it's a guy who's gotten more time than Ziggler has, who has honestly more of a character than Ziggler has right now.
Yeah.
I guess it's arguable, but to me it seems Laurinaitis is more of a character. And
I would completely agree with you that because you know that he's the guy that's kind of he's trying to do the right thing, but he always kind of screws over the baby faces. And and you know that he's going to be this kind of dry character.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a terrible idea, but.
Well, I don't think that's a character. I don't know. You'd think someone who's been on TV that long, I mean, it's been, 2 months now, at least, 2-3? You'd loosen up and be a little, a little more casual.
Right.
But it's like you call him Johnny Wooden. And I'm sure some of it's scripted, like how he always, it's never I'm John Laurinaitis or I'm the head of talent relations. It's I'm John Laurinaitis, interim GM of Raw and executive director, executive vice president of talent relations. Every single time. It's a great douchebag move, but it goes back to how you call him Wooden. It's I must introduce myself like this. If I do not, then it doesn't move on to the next system. And it just gets a laugh out of me now. I don't know why.
I guess it just doesn't really do anything for me. It's just so, monotonous. It's like, okay, there we go again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not like Mitchell cool annoying or anything like that.
Well, I think one thing Laurinaitis did right this week when this was a total gaffe. He goes, Mick, what you told me about the Royal Rumble, I will take that under advisement. And then he immediately follows it with, after further evaluation, the answer is
no.
So he took it under advisement, no. Wait a minute, what? But I really just like the way he delivered the no. That cracked me up. And Elise has been sick, so she was just kind of like, why is that funny? I'm like, just go back to sleep. Just go back to sleep. So I guess it's bad if you're making someone like us, or at least me, like laugh at what the evil general manager is doing, who really does suck on television. It's like, oh boy. I don't know if my standards are getting lower or not. But,
that's the part that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I know. But I did like the fact that Punk is addressing what's going to happen at the Rumble. Almost makes you think someone's going to come out and be like, no, that's enough. Laurinaitis, the board. Like, why hasn't the board of directors stepped in and said, you're doing a shitty job of this?
Yeah, no, they had to fire Triple H right away because Law and Order had been lost. But now this guy's doing a piss poor job and everything's fine. And how long does it take? Like, oh my Lord. Like, I think it took Penn State less time to find a head coach than it did Raw to find a general manager, for God's sakes. And they weren't, and fucking Triple H wasn't touching any kids backstage.
Yeah. I'm letting you die on that one because I'm not about to go, well, at least we don't know he was. So, no.
Well, the coach wasn't, but, that's why he got canned anyway.
Well, I mean, Jopa, yeah, he was touching kids. We all know that. I don't know.
Just for the storylines, it's kind of like the whole mystery general manager. Like, it just stopped. Like, It's so annoying sometimes when shit like that happens. Do they still have the podium out there, or have they just slowly phased that out?
No, that's long gone. Now that as soon as he was announced as the interim, that was it.
Okay, you know, I didn't think I'd seen that. It's just, you know, if you're going to keep him on there as interim, just have it be a couple of weeks or something. Like,
yes.
There's no reason to drag it out this long. Like, no one cares that much. Yeah. Like, I'm fine with longer-term storylines, but that is a storyline that I don't care if it goes long.
Right.
Neither does even the average fan, I'd imagine. Like,
yeah.
They're probably just figuring he is the GM now.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't mind if they even said, like, have a Tonga mention at one time, go, hey, how was your interview for the permanent Raw general manager spot? Or did you see the other candidates for the GM spot? At least acknowledge the fact that there's a search going on. And I know in the argument that they don't want to bring attention to it is garbage because the announcers, they build up and they don't do anything to make money. So, you know, if wrestling was a legitimate television show, regardless of what people want to think, if this was on like FX and FX wouldn't cover this, but if it was on Fox and you had all these glaring storylines that just didn't go anywhere, you know, the critical lambasting that would go on for this, you know, and you know, because McMahon always talks about how he wants to make Raw. You know, Raw is a legitimate entertainment, sports entertainment drama or something.
Yeah.
It wouldn't last a season. No one would buy into this. It'd be like, well, wait a minute, what happened to that? And, well, wouldn't that happen? Or, I mean, you know, depending on how sophisticated you like your television programs, I guess, Raw wouldn't rate at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if you go to, like, soap opera level, they finish their shit at some point.
Yeah.
Like, and if they don't, they keep on reminding you for months at a time. Like, I remember for a good year, a year and a half or whatever, ended up watching that dumb soap that Em watched.
Passions? Yes. Yeah, well,
and you know what? No matter how dumb, and actually, that was probably a good example because they had witchcraft and bad fucking dragons popping up and all kinds of horse shit.
Yeah.
But you know what? They'd still finish storylines.
Right.
Like, yep, yeah, it was complete trash, but they'd remind you, and you wouldn't forget. And you should be bringing that up.
Yeah. Finish it off, and I don't know. The only show I really know that never finished up angles was The Sopranos. I mean, not everything, but at least some of the stuff should have gotten finished up. So I'm sure there were others, but whatever. I know we're getting late on in the show. One thing I think I know I brought it to your attention earlier was – Twitter is just a dumbass thing to use. We use ours for all sorts of inappropriate stuff. At least I do. You'll use it to do your reviews. That's Eric's job in another world. But it's also how these like false rumors start. And what I'm talking about, I don't know if a lot of people saw this or not. Kurt Angle appeared to say that WWE was asking him to be in the Royal Rumble. A fan asked him, about him being in the Rumble as a surprise entrance. And, Angle's response was, nope, I'm happy where I am. No Rumble for me, with a bunch of exclamation points. Cause that really makes him happy. It says,
makes his point.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. My loyalty is with TNA. WWE is knocking on my door, but I won't answer. Isn't this guy under contract? Didn't he just sign, like, re-up during the summer for another year?
Yeah.
This is clearly bullshit.
And the WWE would not be dumb enough to screw with someone that's under contract.
Yeah.
Like, they would probably be in more trouble. Yeah, they would be in way more trouble than Kurt Angle would ever be in for, you know, for violating contract laws and whatnot. So why would they even try to contact him? Like, it'd be a waste of their time. And why do they need him? Like, he's not going to win the Rumble. Usually the attractions that come into the Rumble are guys that they can toss without a problem.
Well, except for Kevin Nash last year.
They still tossed him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But that was one thing. Wasn't Kevin Nash in TNA?
No.
Or no. That's right, he wasn't. Never mind. He talked to Dixie, and she said it was cool to do it. That's right. As if that meant shit to him. But
yeah, he was just not burning a bridge is what he did with that conversation.
Yeah. But no, it just Angle's so full of shit in this that I don't understand. I actually understand how this didn't become a story, but I just thought it was interesting that he's supposedly training for the Olympics. WWE is knocking his door down. He's in TNA. He's got Angle Foods and all this stuff, and it's like, dude, calm down. I guess is the only thing. He's in his 40s. Look at a picture when he first entered WWE and take away your substance abuse jokes for a while. That's just in general, not geared at you.
Right.
He is totally different. Everything about his appearance is totally different. And not in a good way either.
Yeah, no. I mean, he still looks... He's probably more natural now, but it's kind of made him look a little sickly.
I think the sickly part's definitely... Like, I saw that movie Warrior, the MMA movie that came out. That was like the Rocky MMA movie.
Right.
And he's the bad guy in it. Kurt Angle is.
Right.
I can't remember what his name was, but it was supposed to be like Fedor. He was Russian and unstoppable and all this. He looked terrible. I mean, he looked kind of intimidating because I don't think you can take that away from Angle when he's like, you know, in his sports mode. He's right. An intimidating looking man from the neck up, really from the chin up. But then they showed him and like one of his pec muscles was nowhere near developed as the other one.
Yeah.
It was just weird. And he didn't have to talk either, so that was a much better bonus.
yeah.
But I can't see WWE knocking down his door.
Yeah, I mean, he's not really I don't know if he's a good nostalgia act. You know, I don't see any purpose in, you know, bringing, you know, a guy that's been pulled over for drunken driving twice and somehow gotten out of it or gotten very, very lenient penalties, stalked somebody. What else has he done in the meantime?
He's been in some really crummy movies.
And then he, like you said, he just, man, the left side of his body, I think it's the left side, isn't it? Looks to be like a quarter of a size smaller than the right side of his body.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's clearly neurological, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly.
Well, I mean, he's got a bad neck that's causing pressure and all that other stuff. That's why he can't lift weights as much as he wants to. That's neurological, isn't it?
Okay, yeah. Right? But, I mean, I guess I don't know one way or the other, so.
But no, I do think it'd be kind of fun or kind of cool, however you want to say it, to hear all of a sudden hear his music start and then the dun, dun, and then the crowd, you know, they're in a fairly good market for the crowd, so they'll pop and then do the "you suck" or whatever else. I'll admit that would be kind of cool. But after that, though, just knowing, just anticipating, just to see the sickly arms and stuff, just no, I don't.
Yeah, and I mean, they have Jericho. If everyone that wrestles is allowed to re-wrestle in it, there's even less reason to bring back those kind of acts just in this Royal Rumble.
Right. I mean, this is going to be those nostalgia guys. Let's not be stupid here.
Well, no. I mean, Mick Foley is going to be a nostalgia guy.
I'd actually think it'd be funny if he wasn't in the Royal Rumble, and that's all it was just to berate him. Because I think that's a big amount of balls on his part to do something like that. But, so that's just something to bring up. I don't know. Just another wrestler pumping himself up. I'm trying to think if there's anything else, or if that's just a good point to stop. No, that's a good point to stop. We're going to talk about Shane Douglas, but what the fuck's the point? I think if I really wish my whole post today, just really quick, would have been, I thought this motherfucker was gathering cards at Target, and that's it. Just like my test in memoriam article that never got published, was really mean, but it was test greatest moments, and it was blank, and it was just gonna put my sign it at the end, but Eric thought it was a really funny idea, but I was like, I don't know, man, that's kind of harsh. He just died. So. But anyways, all right, so let's get out of here. It's plug time, so let me wet the whistle real quick. There's always something I forget, so I'm trying to remember. Oh, all right. Fit and Active Lemonade. Mm. All right, so you like the show, want to comment on it, feel free and comment in the comment section associated with anything here on the site. I've been paying closer attention to finally answer things. I know the other guys are really good at it. I'm not, so this is Jeremy, so don't take it personally. You can email us, stuntgranny@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @stuntgranny. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm @grannymaze. Kevin is @defrango11. Dusty is @dustygiebink. I believe it's his full name.
Correct, sir.
Eric's is...
It is... The Bachelor Fan, @TheBachelorFan.
You think we'd have that part worked out by now? So then I go, Eric's is, and you'd just be able to jump in with it by now.
Well, it always seems like you're searching for something else to say about Eric. So I keep on waiting, and I'm like, okay, I'll make something up when you throw it to me. Just fucking throw it to me, and it'll snap into my brain. But you're like, oh, yeah, well, and then there's...
Yeah, that's the whole gimmick, is I can't remember, and then you come up with some made-up name for him.
Okay.
So that's what I'm getting at. Right now, you should realize I'm never going to say anything.
I'm jumping in late. My bad.
Okay, all right. It's timing, my friend, timing. Also, this is a part we always forget. We're actually on iTunes now, which is kind of retarded. Just search for Stunt Granny, and it should come up. If it doesn't, email us @stuntgranny@gmail.com, or you can tweet us and say, hey, dummies, this isn't working, @stuntgranny again. It does work, though. I actually do subscribe to our own podcast, which is ridiculous, but it's good. Just a test. Check out the new audio show that started last week, Dusty Giebink and a special guest of his choice. He's actually going to be covering TNA. Why Dusty's doing that to himself, I don't know. But this is his baby. He wanted to do it. So it'll be up hopefully sometime this weekend. That's all I got. So I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah, well, not only is Dusty doing that, I have started a full-on column, so I will be at least shirking some of my duties on Twitter during Impact Wrestling to actually come up with a real column, I suppose, more times than not. That's just about it, and I'm finally going to grab myself a sippy time beer. Have a good night, grandkids.
The Packers are supposed to win the Super Bowl. You told me to do the sparkles. I told you not to do the sparkles, and you told me to do it. It was pretty. I don't care about pretty. I wanted the Packers to win the Super Bowl.